Welcome to Dance Specific Talks. This podcast is made for us dancers, and our goal here is to inspire dancers from all over the world to become better, both on and off the dance floor. We want to provide you with a platform where we dancers can share and learn from each other. So let me introduce to you your host for this podcast, T-Sir, and remember as always, by dancers, for dancers.
What's up everyone, and welcome back to another episode of your favorite dance podcast, Dance Specific Talks. I'm your host, T-Sir, and today we're going to Madrid to meet no one else than a dancer who does samba de gafieira, Brazilian souk, and West Coast swing. Today, we're talking with no one else than Caro Pierce. Oh, when you walk on the sidewalk, in the sand, remember what we did was care for each other. But the night was warm, we were bold and young. So what do you need to know about Caro? Well, he is from São Paulo in Brazil and started to dance very early as a 15-year-old. He quickly moved to Rio de Janeiro, where he became a part of different dance companies, developing his couple dancing skills. He has done a lot of different styles, but in 2005, he met his partner, Larissa, and they have both lived for many, many years in Australia, but also toured around the world for almost 16 years. They have competed, choreographed for So You Think Again Dance Australia, and now Caro lives in Madrid, where he is married to the Kizomba dancer Carolina, and they have a child together. We are going to talk all about how his dance journey has taken him around the world, what these different styles mean to him, and also how he kept his creative and artistic side throughout all these years. But first, you already know what to do. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Dance Specific Talks, or our podcast on Spotify, iTunes, and all the other podcast platforms. Now, let's get it going. Welcome to this interview, Caro.
Thank you again, buddy.
Wow. You are all the way in Madrid, am I right?
Yes, I'm in Madrid since February last year. That was when I arrived from my last Congress, which was in Australia, in Melbourne. And that's it. I'm here since then.
It's crazy, man. Congratulations. You have got a daughter. Mia is her name, right?
Exactly. Yes. 3 years old already.
Wow.
I normally say that one of the few good things that I could say from this crazy period that the world's having right now is the fact that I could spend more time here with my daughter and my wife, things that I wouldn't do if the life was normal, because it was too many trips around and I would miss a lot of the, you know, of a growing. But yeah, since February last year, that's what I do, 24/7, spend time with them. And this is for sure a good thing for me.
Yeah, for sure. As dancers, because also Carolina, your wife, Kizomba dancer, you used to travel a lot as well. So your life has drastically changed, but it must be a beautiful chapter together.
Yeah, at the beginning was tough because so used to do that for many years. And then you get a point that you're not doing anymore because you cannot, not because you choose not to. It's just because you can't. And then all these things happening around the world, it was a bit tough at the beginning, but then I got used to it. And now I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good. I miss it, but I don't think I would go back that much today as I was before. It was way too crazy. Like every weekend in a different place in the world. Like, I mean, too much, way too much.
Yeah, just also like as an athlete that you and your dance partner, Larissa, you know, are also traveling with different time zones and back and forward. It must be so wearing on your body.
Yeah, it's not healthy. It's definitely not healthy for your body, for your you know, mentally is a bit complicated. Then family as well. That is like I used to spend a lot of time without seeing my wife and my daughter, and my family in Brazil, for example, is about almost 2 years that I haven't seen them. So it's a bit tough.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. I can only imagine. So but let's bring it. Yeah,
I wouldn't change that for anything.
No, that's the thing, right?
Yeah, love it, love it.
Yeah, you know, we come to the point where you just start appreciating the smallest things, and life becomes very, you know, focused on the moment in a way that maybe as a dancer, where you always had constantly FOMO of wanting to be on every party, and is this an opportunity or is this that, and you know, all of that kind of changes into very humane, peaceful.
Yeah, and I guess because we were going with the flow of it, because too many years doing, you kind of get used to. So that's your normal life at some point. But I just realized how much and how hard that was when I got the chance to really not do it. So that now I understand that everything that we did was great, but also too much, way too much. I mean, I would do everything again if I could. But I mean, now I would probably do it in a different way. Like a little bit more relaxed. I would pick just a few and do it instead to just like go everywhere and that's it. Because it was just a normal thing for us.
Yeah.
So we didn't really stop to think and, you know, what we were doing.
And also so much energies, you know, like when you're on the dance floor and you meet, you know, I think I read somewhere that in 2007, you and Larissa traveled 4 to 6 weekends out of 1 year.
Yeah.
That is a lot. That's thousands of different humans coming close to you on a weekly, monthly basis.
Yeah. And the detail on top of that, that we were still living in Australia back then. Yeah. So Australia, as you know, is in the other side of the world. So the closest place to Australia is New Zealand, which is 3-4 hours flying. Mm. So there was time that we used to come to Europe, maybe, you know, 2 times a month, like come here, arriving Friday morning, leaving Monday, stay a weekend in Australia, then come back again. I mean, that was a time that was just too much.
Yeah.
When we moved to US, it turned to be a little better because US is a bit more central. So then you kind of go everywhere a little easier. But even so, from LA to Madrid, for example, is 12 hours straight flight. Mm. So even so, it's still a long time. But yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy
times, man. Yeah. And I kind of want to
break.
Yes, I mean, of course, this is your identity, this is your life and your legacy, you know, but at the same time, it's interesting when once you got a little bit of distance to it, to really see like, wow, you could do that, all of that.
Yeah.
Well, so I want to kind of bring it back to, you know, you're world citizens, you lived in several different countries, but I kind of want to bring it back to Sao Paulo. So, and just kind of where the core of Kadu got created. What from your childhood or from your birthplace do you still, you know, like what is it that is particularly very Brazilian about you in the way you act and engage with the world?
I mean, I think the starting with the Brazilian way, like Brazilians, they are, I think that the life for maybe 80% of the Brazilians normally is very tough since you're born, you know, because of politics and safety, whatever. So you kind of like create this thing inside that you need to be tough. But at the same time, everything ends in a party. Everything is a party in the end. So then it kind of builds the personality of, it doesn't matter how hard the things are, in the very end, you're going to be happy. So that's one of the things that make us Brazilians, I would say, just a little bit, sometimes a bit too warm, because everything is just very loud. Everything is just funny. Everything is just about that. And to be a dancer, I guess you need to have this type of, you know, personality of, because you are the center of the attention. So if you kind of don't have this kind of, you know, ability to be okay with whatever happens, sometimes the dance life is a bit tough. So that's something that I have with me since since I left Brazil would say, you know, always being happy, always, I love being around people. I love being the center of the attention. I try to don't let things push me down too much. Because, you know, as a growing in the area that I grew up, you know, a lot of things that I saw and I lived that make like things today be just a little bit easier. Mm. Yeah. So that's, I guess that's the thing that I bring with me since then.
Because you moved very early. You were just like 18 when you moved to Rio de Janeiro to like pursue dancing. Like, what made you feel that dancing so early was your choice of career and livelihood?
You know, that's a very, very interesting point. Because back in Sao Paulo, when I was young, or my teenagers, like any Brazilian or most of the Brazilians, you know, I played capoeira, I played football and stuff like this. But then my old brother, my oldest brother, he today is 45 or 46 years old. He started dancing first and then I like watching him dancing. So then I started taking some class with him just for fun, you know. But then one day I saw a good friend of mine, which by coincidence now lives here in Madrid. His name is Marcio. He's used to be a dancer as well. I saw him performing on one night with a dance partner. And I was like, wow, I want this for me. I want this really for me. So I could see myself doing that one. So back then I used to have like a normal day job, basically like from Monday to Friday. Then taking dance classes nighttime just for fun. But then after that, I decided, look, I wanted this for me. So then I started doing classes more and more and more. And my oldest brother, really, he moved to Rio de Janeiro first because our samba master, Jimmy de Oliveira, invited him to be part of his dance company in Rio. So my brother went, he spent a year there. And then a year later, he called me and he said, look, there's a spot here, you should come. If you want to get your dance better and improve it, you need to come here. Back then, I was dancing just samba de gafieira over there because Rio de Janeiro is super popular dance style. I said, you know what? So let's go. So then I gave up my job that I had that time, which was kind of okay. I had a relationship that was like five or 6 years old. That I gave up as well. I said, look, I'm going, bye. And I had that feeling that if I want to get better dancing, that's what I need to do. So that's when my life really changed as a dancer. Because, of course, I had like a very tough time in Rio because I was young and not many people knew me back then and all that. Took a little, you know, a little time to really get involved with the rest of the people. But that decision changed my life because then from Rio, other people from different cities in Brazil could see me. In Rio, I met Larissa. In Rio, I met the guy who took Larissa there for the first time outside of Brazil, was when everything really started. So I had that feeling that it would be the right decision.
And then I
took it. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And I mean, you started dancing in several dance companies quite fast as well. What was the biggest learning experience from dancing in these companies that you have been taking with you in the rest of your career?
I think to take that opportunity that fast and that young was good to see the elders doing what they were doing back then. Get the experience early. So then you kind of, you know, you always need to make mistakes to really understand what you need to do. But if you see from the people with more experience a little bit earlier, chances are that you're going to make less mistakes. So Jimmy de Oliveira he's a great dancer, a great teacher, a great choreographer. So it was good to see how they think and talk, ask questions and kind of understand the way they think about it. Alex Carvalho was exactly the same. The company was super big back then. It was his first year having his first company. So a lot of things happened into a good way, but a lot of things in a bad way. So it kind of it was good to see how it works and see from the beginning to see the whole process, which make Larissa and I, when we partner up already, we already knew a few things about how to build a routine, how to teach like a better class related to technique and how to break down movements, not just blah. So you need to understand what you're doing. So all those small important things, it did help Larissa and I to grow fast as we did. Otherwise, probably, I don't know how it would be if I didn't have the chance to spend time with those companies, including Larissa's company, because she's used to be a ballet dancer and a contemporary dancer. And I got the chance to do a little stage on her contemporary dance company for like a year and a bit. And that gave me a different view from different dance style and how they worked and why. And so all this experience, that was a lot back then, but because we were young and so hungry about it, so we took every information possible and then we learned from that one. Mm. So was tough, was busy, but was good.
Wow. There must be a lot of experiences and funny memories and hard memories.
Yeah.
I remember myself when I went to my hip hop education, and I remember the first thing you needed to learn was like training is hard and it's not just a dancing training.
Exactly.
But I had my the CEO of the dance school, he came in and he dropped a roll of black plastic bags in the classroom, and we were like, We're paying for this education. We're not going to clean up. And he's like, take off your t-shirt, cut three holes in the plastic bag, put it on top of your body, put the t-shirt on, and let's start physical training for 1 hour. And we sweat like 4 kilos of water in just 1 hour, you know?
Yeah.
And he was just like, you know, you got to be tough if you want to make it as a dancer.
That's true. That's because it's a great life when you just do it for fun. Like, I mean, if you just do it for fun, it's good. But when you work with, so the life is a little bit different. Still very cool, very fun. Like, I wouldn't change that for anything in the world. But it's not everybody that can deal with what take to be a professional dancer.
Yeah.
It's a bit complicated. Yeah.
It is. And I mean, you and Larissa, you could have also just stayed doing what you do and have your base in Brazil, but you actually moved to Australia. Why Australia? And why, you know, you stayed there a long time, so it must have been great for you guys. But why Australia?
I normally say that Australia chose us. We didn't choose Australia. Because when this guy, his name is Marcos Moran, he's a Brazilian guy who's still living in Australia. He used to have this Brazilian dance company. And back in Australia, when YouTube and Facebook, I guess those things didn't really exist. So every end of the year in Sydney, they used to have this massive party to celebrate dancing, whatever. And they used to bring people from outside of Australia to do a workshop or to do a showcase, whatever. And then this guy, Marcos, he saw the chance to pick someone from Brazil to go and do this the end of the year party show, and also stay in Australia for a little while to work on his dance company. So then Jimmy, my samba de gafeira master, indicated Larissa and I, because back then on his school, Larissa and I were the only couple that could dance more than just samba. So then he picked us, and then this guy Marcos, he offered, look, you guys come for this and stay with me for like 2 months working, then you go back to Brazil. At the beginning, I didn't want to go because I was doing so well with Larissa traveling around Brazil. I was young, was in love with Rio de Janeiro still. I was doing the work with Larissa's contemporary dance company, and I didn't want to go. And then at the end of the day, Larissa convinced me that it would be nice to go to see something else, make some extra money, and then come back. So then we went, and then soon as I step in Australia, for the first time, I fall in love with the country. Like everything over there was just perfect for, I think, for me. You know, like I normally say that Australia is like a Brazil that works. Because have everything similar to Brazil, but everything that works, which in Brazil do not work until today, right? So then was good. So then we stayed there. We met a lot of people. Then we met this other Brazilian guy called Tarcísio that he offered us to go back to work with him on his dance school. So then already in love with Australia, we said, okay, let's do it. So we went back to Brazil for, I think, 4 or 5 months as they were doing the paperwork, whatever. Then the deal was going to Australia for 1 year for learning English, different experience, you know, money, blah, blah, blah. And the end of the day, we stayed there forever because everything worked. Like a lot of opportunity came out. We were doing well. We love the country. We love the work. We love the people. And from there, we had a chance to go around the world because back then we didn't have Zouk congresses in then. So salsa and bachata was already big. So the salsa and bachata congresses were taking Larissa and I for a showcase and a few workshops. So then we already started going outside of Australia for this type of job. So we love it. And then we said, you know what? We stay here. Then we stayed there. We got citizenship. And then years later, I think 12, 13 years later, we decided to leave. Then is when we moved to USA.
And what made you move there? Like if it, everything was going so well, you have your contacts, you know, life can be also easy, you know, you can get comfortable. You can just like, this is true. What we chose.
Very what, true. I think we got in a point that is like you said, a part of everything being too comfortable was we were first super tired because Australia is way too far from everything. So all we decided not travel as much as we did and stay in Australia, taking care of the dance school that we had back then. Or we took the chance to go to US because then we already have the connection with the West Coast Swing, which is in America is the best place. We want to compete. We want to learn more. Personal life in Australia was already messed. So then we said, you know what? Let's go. So we decided to go. Then we left everything.
And just to be clear for the people who don't know all these styles that you're doing, I mean, they are very different. Like you have the style that I'm trying to learn how to pronounce, samba de gafiera.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
You have the Brazilian souk, and then you have your new passion or new, but the latest passion for West Coast swing. If you could just like, I know it's hard, but summarize these three different style, what makes them different? And why do you like them, you know?
Yeah. Samba de gafieira, we is like just to make a connection, is like we call it like the Brasilia tango because it's very similar to tango. A lot of things came from tango, but we dance that similar way in a Brasilia samba music. So that's basically samba de gafieira, which is from Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. Like in Brazil, we have a few ways to dance samba. Like São Paulo, they have what they call samba pagode, which is a couple dance, but more on the spot, very different than samba de gafieira. They have the traditional samba no pé, which is more carnival. Like you see the girls in the bikini doing the samba solo. Then they have the samba de gafieira, which is the Brazilian tango. Kind of-ish. And they have the one that I call samba rock, which is, how can I explain? It's more like a open frame dance, a lot of like rapping and rapping and things like this, but it's chill on the samba music. Brazilian Zouk is, I'm pretty sure you heard about Lambada, the Brazilian dance that 30 years ago was super, super famous. But then at some point it got prohibited because of a lot of things. And one guy called Adilio Porto, a Lambada dancer, he got this disc with Zouk music, the real Zouk music, right? French music. And then he decided to mix a little bit of Lambada with a little bit Samba de Gafieira, a little bit of Forró. We have Forró in Brazil to another funny dance over there. Mix it up all a little bit and create this dance they call Brazilian Zouk, which is an evolution of Lambada, right? And West Coast Swing came from Jive. So it's quite similar concept. There was a mix as well, but no lifts, no anything like that, but kind of the same concept related to resistance and all that. It came like this too. So that three dances, the one that we love the most. But back when we were young, we danced salsa as well. We learned a lot. We compete salsa back in Brazil as well. We know a little bit myself, the basics of kizomba, the basics of tango, very basics of bachata. So I like all those a little bit, but the three main dance style is Samba de Gafieira, Brazilian Zouk, and West Coast Swing.
You're basically stamped as a dance addict and you're just taking different expressions.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And the good thing about it is like Larissa is exactly the same as me, maybe even more. And then make like, okay, let's learn this, let's study that, and let's go with the flow. Let's go. And we take the chance and do as much as we can.
I mean, can we just also talk about, I mean, you've been dancing since 2005. That is about, that's like 15 years together.
Yeah, that's, my partnership with Larissa is about to turn 16 years.
Oh, wow.
But I started dancing, I was 15 years old. And Larissa started a little bit earlier. As a ballet dancer, you start a little earlier. So we spend more than half of our lives dancing. But together is about to turn 16 years.
It's crazy. Can you, I mean, like, how do you even, first of all, how do you even keep a partnership going for that long? Like, logistically, that's hard because you're not a couple. I mean, you have a wife and, you know, so first of all, like, how do you keep it going for that long? What are some of your key things to make a long-lasting, successful partnership?
I think the first thing is respect to each other, which is, I guess, the biggest problem between partner couples, dance couples. Larissa and I, when we started, we were super, super young. And of course, we started because we were dating back then. But then we start mixing our relationship problems with the working, which was dancing. So then we were together, I guess, for 2 years. And then that was a point that we were like, oh, we keep the partnership or we keep the relationship. And then, of course, back then, the partnership was priority and still. Then we broke up and it was even harder because we were in Australia already. We were living together. Back then, I couldn't even talk much English, didn't know many people. So it was super tough. Larissa was already speaking English because she studied a little bit in Brazil before we left, which helped us. Otherwise, it would be so hard to be in Australia. And that period, that 8-9 months that we spent together after we broke up working together, it did teach us a lot because we need to learn how to really respect each other as a dance couple, as a partnership. Then is when things turn to be perfect. Of course, we still fight because we disagree in a few things, but in the end of the day, first, respect to each other. Second, looking at the same direction. Because if you have a dance partner that are not able to take, able to do what it takes and don't look at the same direction as you are looking, so then at some point you're going to crash.
Mm.
So I guess I'm lucky because she's a workaholic as well. So she loves working and she loves dancing and she loves everything about dancing the same way as I do. So make it easier to make a plan together, right? So I guess that's the key. Mm, one of the key. Yeah. It's not easy, I'll tell you. We fight a lot. But at the end of the day, we need to suck it up and say sorry and move on.
Yeah. Because it's also creatively what, like, you know, when I dance with, especially in Kizomba, when I dance with different people, that's when I get more and more inspired because I get these different movement patterns and I get to dance with people that have different musicality than I do, et cetera, et cetera. But
yeah.
Since you had the same partner for such a long time, what are some of your best ways to keep inspired? Because you have been doing so many shows and also teaching new stuff in your, you know, workshops. And on top of that, switching styles. So you have to adapt to different, like, how do you stay inspired and just keep on going creatively as an artist?
I mean, I guess that for us, because we do have like a social dances and stuff that we get a chance to dance with a lot of different people too. Which also, as you said, it helps a lot for you to be inspired. And I guess always trying to challenge yourselves, because for Larissa and I, the business card for us through these whole years is the showcase, the show that we put it on for congresses. So then challenging ourselves to always build a show that's going to be better than the one before, kept us doing what we're doing for many years, and people are still like wanting us to be there on day festivals on weekends. The fact that we, as a teacher, we study a lot and still always learning how to, you know, have a good class where you see people living happy. So to keep you inspired of to doing all this, you need to love what you do, starting with. And I guess the challenge to always try something better is what kept us going on. Because if you get in a point that, you know, get comfortable because, you know, you have the whole year already booked for festivals. So then you kind of thought, whatever. So you go and do whatever. Then is when things probably would get wrong. But if every time you try to do your best because you want next year to be on the same festival again, so then you go that weekend and do everything you can to make everybody happy about it. So then you challenge yourself in all this. So then kind of, you know, you keep like moving on and keep happy about it.
Mm. And in your dance styles, is it very common to also hire, you know, help with the choreography or tricks or, you know, like, or do you always have to come up with everything yourself?
I didn't understand much the question.
Yeah. So in some styles, I've heard that if you're like doing shows and stuff, that you as a dance couple sometimes hire another person to come in and do choreo or sometimes in
like
salsa.
A coaching.
Yes.
Like a coaching. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. In West Coast swing is very common. But for example, for the Brazilian Zouk, not really. And for the Sabajiga Fiera, even worse. What we, Larissa and I, what we always had was a coach in terms of someone outside of the box to really look at what we're doing and say, that look good, that do not make sense at all. Someone that can tell us the truth, but needs to be someone with more experience than what we do. So for the last 6-7 years, we have Jordan and Tatiana, which they are the legend of West Coast Swing, which by coincidence today is Larissa's husband. So they have been our coaching for 7 years or more, I think more. but they never choreographed anything for us. Even for the West Coast Swing, which is their own thing, they never choreographed. They let us put our feeling outside and they say, look, this doesn't look like swing. That do not make sense. That looks good. That's out of no musicality there. So changes. So then you have someone to help. Related to Zouk, because that's not their own thing, but they have, as a dancers and choreographers, they have a lot of experience. They look, this looks good. This to me, not much. So it's important for us to have someone outside of the box to, because sometimes even if you watch the video of yourself every day, you're going to miss something. You miss something. So for Larissa and I, it was always important to have them, and before them we had others as well. And also inside of the Brazilian Zouk world, we do coach a lot of Zouk couples as well, because we do have a little bit more experience related to showcase. So that we coach them and say, look, this looks okay, this doesn't. So it's always important, but pay for someone to choreograph for Larissa and I, we never did. We did choreograph to others, which is a few, because not much. But on those West Coast Swing, that's very normal. Very normal.
And how much of your like dance background in the Zouk and the Zamba can you use in the West Coast Swing without, you know, as you say, it becoming too off from the style itself? Because when I look at your videos of West Coast Swing, I'm like, oh, is that a souk head right there? Is this, this and that? Like, how much are you allowed to mix?
I mean, I guess you can mix as much as you want to, as long as you don't lose the identity of the style you're doing at that specific time. I guess one of the hardest things for Larissa and I is that, like, you switch your body motion from one style to the other style. And those days now, the West Coast Swing, they are using quite a bit of head movements as well. Like in bachata, they are using a lot as well. So it's easy to catch something and like, oh, that looks like a Brazilian Zouk, especially because we are Brazilian Zouk dancers. That was super hard for us to really switch, because too many years dancing that specific style, too many years training for that specific thing, and then now you need to change and use similar turn partners, for example, from this here, but this needs to look like this, not like this. So it's a bit, that's, I guess, the hardest. Samba de Gafieira, I guess, any dance background you have, experience will help you as a dancer in anything else. I mean, you know, body control, body movements or technique of this or that and language, I guess all those little things, it does help a lot.
Yeah. And I mean, you have like, what, 5 first places in US Open already in West Coast Swing, 2016, 17 and 18.
Yeah, we did at US Open. We always place between the first 5, but winning the Open we never did, which is a shame. We should, because it's the biggest, but it takes forever because, you know, you have a lot of amazing dancers that work for many years. But for Larissa and I, who came from different dance style and compete that many times and stay between the first 5 every time in there, that was winning for us. But we want to feel like in New York and San Diego, we like a little smaller, because the US Open is the biggest, right? So that one, no. But I mean, look, that feeling was one of the things that kept us super excited about it and motivated as well to do it again.
Wow. I mean, I feel like you have done... You and Larissa have done so much together. It's just not been like the competitions, the festivals and stuff. You have also choreographed for So You Think You Can Dance?
Yeah.
In Australia. Yeah. How was it to work on like TV on that level? And how different was that experience compared to our world, which is usually festivals?
Yeah, it was great at the moment. I was, of course, super nervous about it because first time on a TV show that big, because we have done a few before, but no like Soy Thick and Ness. And was the first time ever that Zouk was part of that TV show.
Oh, wow.
So, of course, we were super happy about it. But at the same time, we got there, people, the dancers, because most of them, they are hip-hop dancers or contemporary dancers or classic dancers. They never heard about Brazilian Zouk. So we get there, they're like, what? What is that? So then you need to, you know, show all of them, talk about the history a little bit and show some videos so they can have this idea to what they're going through. And the work with them was tough because, again, it's a starting that is a dance couple. So are they are not like couple dancers, like they don't, you know, have much experience with that. That was complicated, but also fun. Super fun, super, super, super fun. But yeah, it was a little bit tricky. And especially because, you know, you have a very short time to put like a almost 2 minutes together routine. And for someone that is dancing the first time something new in a very short time is super complicated. But I love it. I love it so much. That was a great experience.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, you have also have your own festival, Casa do Zouk.
Casa do Zouk, well. Yes.
And so going from being an artist on a festival is way different to be the organizer of a festival.
Yeah.
What would you say have been one of the, you know, the biggest achievements or challenges with organizing your own festival?
I think the getting the experience, of course, of organizing a festival with something, as you said, totally different. But lucky us. First, Larissa is a workaholic and she's very straightforward to a lot of things. And when we did our first one, which was Ilha do Zouk, which is an island of Zouk, we did in a small island outside of Australia. Then we had a friend called Lisa. She worked back then with, you know, conference stuff like this for business and stuff like that. So she helped us to negotiate and, you know, process everything. So we had this really help background with us. And then when we lost the island because the space was getting too small for the amount of people that we're getting, we decided to take the event to the beach in Gold Coast in Australia. Then it needs to be on the hotel. So then back then, another friend called Charles, he was super, super smart in negotiate things as well. So he helped us with that. And Larissa, being the way she is, she was super helpful as well in organizing stuff because she likes it a lot. So we make it easier. And I guess the toughest part is separate being a dancer and being the business, the organizer. That part, I think for me took a little longer because as I said, I'm the party guy. Everything for me is easy. Okay, let's go with the flow. Let's go like this. Larissa is a little bit more straightforward. So then it worked better because she's a little bit more like, no, this cannot be like this. She switched a little faster than I did. And that's why it worked. And it's still working, yeah.
Nice. Oh, and I mean, you could have stopped there, but I also saw that you are creating music.
Yeah.
In all things to traveling, organizing, teaching, performing, choreographing, you also found time somewhere to also start both producing and singing as well.
Yeah, actually, I did that for fun. And I guess because I did that for fun, it did work well. But the thing is, I guess personality as well, because when I first get in touch with, for example, DJing, was because a good friend of mine who works on the Brazilian Zouk as well, called Mafi Zucker, he was DJing, and then I fall in love the way he was DJing and remixing some songs. So then I decided to take some classes with him back, I don't know, many years ago, and start practicing at home and asking him to, you know, give me feedback and stuff. And I fall in love with that. And then time that I wasn't working for the school, I was at home just, you know, like crazy, learning more about it. And then a friend of mine, who is a famous singer in Brazil called Paulo Mac, we took him to Australia many years ago for a concert. And also after the concert, that was my birthday. And then I had this birthday party. Then I asked him to stay long in Australia to do a concert for my party as well. And then I asked him, I say, look, as a birthday boy, I want to share this song with you on stage. I want to sing a little bit just for fun. He was a little bit like, wow, I can't say no to you right now, right? You're the boss. So then with that little fun thing, I fell in love with that. So then I started doing like singing classes back in Australia. Then I decided to producing some music, try to write some stuff, and then, you know, playing with this, and did work well. And then one day I messaged this guy called Caixa, which is a famous kizomba singer who lives now here in Portugal. Like I was thinking today, I was like brave to do that, because I messaged him and said, look, I do this and do this, listen to this. Maybe one day we can do something together. For whatever reason, he answered me back. We start talking, and then of the day, I end up recording a few songs with him, and that was wow. Like this, just like that.
And so now, during like this pandemic, have you had more time to get into it more?
It would be like this, but to be really honest with you, I didn't do much. That was the first time that I didn't have feeling for it, because I guess I was super down with all this news and people dying and not dancing and being locked here. Like, I mean, I'm happy to spend time with my family, but at the same time, you know, I'm not doing what I used to do since I was 15 years old. So I didn't have that much feeling. So I have a lot of projects that is here ready to go, but not really in the mood, like not really. I don't have the feeling. I already try a few times sitting down and trying to do something, but it's not coming.
Yeah, I can imagine, because I feel like that with choreos in general right now, that like, oh, you know, I hear this music and then I'm like, I kind of want to picture it. And then I'm like, but what am I gonna do with that? You know, even if I put a lot of money on recording this, you know, video right now, is it even going to lead to anywhere?
Exactly. No. It's just like, I mean, music would be easier to, you know, release and all this, but I didn't have the feeling to do it. So then I decide, okay, so we'll wait until the feeling come back and then I go for it again.
Well, you know, I think that it's going to be way easier. Also for DJs, I can just imagine right now creating mixtapes and stuff and then not having a dance floor to try it on,
on
immediately, you know, because before the DJs would always in the weekdays or small socials, they would try it out and see how it works on the people dancing. But now it's like, you know, it's just, that's it. That's it.
You don't have places, you don't have people to, you know. Yeah. That makes sense. And yeah, that's why I'm really not inspired at the moment to do it.
Yeah. But talking about, you know, you being in your father life now and everything, you met a dancer. I don't know anything about how you and Carolina met. Was it through the kizomba or how did this love appear?
The things, you know, things happen for a reason. I always believe on that one. So back in Australia, 5 years ago, we, Larissa and I, we just landed from Europe, I think in Australia, I think it was Tuesday, and we need to leave on Wednesday to US. I was super tired. I was about to call the organizer and say, look, I'm tired. I'm not going. I'm going to get sick. I can't. But then Larissa convinced me, no, we need to go. We need to go. We need to go. So then we went. And that was when I first time saw Carolina. Was in a Congress in US, Washington, was the Kizomba and Zouk Washington Festival or something like this. She went there to teach with Anna, and I met her on Thursday. And first time I saw, not the first time, because when I got in the house where they were, I said hello to everybody. And then, like, I saw her, I said hello, but I was so tired that I didn't really pay attention in nothing. Then the same night, that was a Thursday night, and Anna and Carolina were teaching one of the classes before the party. And then I arrived, they were teaching, and I saw her teacher was like, whoa, who is this girl? Then I was already awake. And since that moment, that's it. We spent the whole weekend talking, you know, dancing with each other on the weekend and blah. I left and didn't see her after, I don't know how long, month or two. But we were talking to each other every day because we felt that that was it. That was it. And then here we are to today.
You know, can you imagine that that was the woman, you know, who gave you the child, your child. Yeah.
And I was supposed to cancel that Congress. I was supposed to not go.
Mm.
So.
Wow. Is Larissa like, you know, taking pride?
Yeah. Because otherwise, I don't know. I think at some point we would see each other somewhere.
Yeah.
But that was it. Dancing.
And so she's now also dancing Zouk, you know, with you a little bit.
I mean, she lived the dance world for a few years, but she's a nurse. Right. So she studied for it. That's what she always wanted to do. So she went to the dance world just for fun and ended up doing okay with the nun. And then she spent years with that. But at some point she would go back for nursing. And that's what happened. We do practice a little bit today here and there, but not as much as people expected, because she gets home tired from work, and she now today dance just for fun. And, you know, sometimes when I need her to help me with some classes here in Spain, she comes and we do it together. But now she's full-time nurse, and we don't dance that much as we supposed to.
Well, you know, I think that that's also a bit of a harsh thing to put on, because I'm, you know, my fiance is my dance partner as well, and people expect us to train a lot at home, whereas, like, you know, we just moved, we do other things.
Exactly.
The, you know, the love was there before the dancing was
exactly
there. So
exactly.
it's like an expectation that I think a lot of people have, because they see on social media, you know, you post, because when you post, you is when we dance. So yeah
and I believe as well, like, it's good to separate one thing to the other thing. And when you start practicing too much, and then at some point you start mixing a little bit, and then that mix goes back home with you. So me myself, I prefer not to get that involved with her related to it.
But
sometimes it's good to practice, especially now that we don't have many parties or anything. We need to, you know, practice somehow.
Yeah, but also pushing each other. I saw that Carolina put up a video of herself dancing, and she just, like, tagged you in it, like, you know, my husband is supporting me to get back in front of the camera. And I think that's where the love is, you know, no matter if you dance together or not, just develop, support each other to develop and grow.
I remember when she was still on the dance world, I used to have, like, weekend free, and she was working, I used to travel with her just to be there, like, watching her teaching and performing and be around. I used to love that. I used to love that, but also respect the fact that she she doesn't want to leave that anymore.
Yeah.
But when she does, I'm always there to, you know, let's go.
Support. Yeah. That's it, man. Wow. Well, you know, I feel like this is just a glimpse into your life, which is a lot of years of dancing and, you know, a lot of years to come. Because I believe that, you know, we committed to this dancing for a lifetime and we will dance in some form for the rest of our life. Yeah. So can't wait to see more and learn more from watching your videos. And hopefully one day we get to see each other in real life as well.
Sounds like a plan.
Right. So yeah. in the end of my interviews, I always have something called fill in the blanks. And it's when I start a sentence and you as Karu, you end with one word or maximum an end of a sentence, whatever you feel. Okay. Wow,
it's going to be tough, but let's try.
Let's try it. Okay. What I miss the most of being on stage is?
The crown energy and the, you know, that feeling on stomach right before you go in, the adrenaline.
Yeah.
Adrenaline.
Nice. When I teach, I always try
to make people happy more than just learning how to dance, but to be happy and dance.
One of the most recent things I learned about myself was
that I am a normal person, that I am a human like everybody, that I need to live every day like we don't have tomorrow.
If I could go tomorrow to anywhere in the world, it would be
Australia.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And one thing that I have yet to achieve with my dancing is?
I want to be a legend. I want my name to be on the dance scene forever.
That's cool, man. And the last one would be, if I could teach my daughter one thing, it would be
one thing. Be humble. Be humble. Yeah.
Yeah. That gets you far in life, man. no matter what you do, who you are, that gets far. Thank you so much. In the end of my interviews, I always say, where, you know, is there anyone you want to shout out? Anything you want to say to the listeners? Where can they find you? All of this, the mic is yours.
Well, I'd like to, first of all, say thank you to you for having me here. I loved the conversation. It's nice to meet you. For everybody that is listening and watching, just be happy. For the dancers to keep dancing, because, you know, life can change in a second. Love your family, love your friends, love yourself, because, again, things can change in a minute, as we all know right now. And I am on Instagram, Karu Pires. Also, we have the website for the ones that want to know more about what Larissa and I do, KaruLarissaOnline.com. Just all together, Karu Larissa Online, not Karu and Larissa, KaruLarissaOnline.com to find out a little bit more about what we do. And that's it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. I wish you a great rest of the day.
Same to you. Thank you so much.
Don't forget to click subscribe, comment below, and give us a rating or review. We have a Facebook page, YouTube page, and we are on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, and all the other podcast platforms. We also have an Instagram, so don't forget to tag us in your favorite episode and share it with the world, because we read all of it.